Romans chapter 8, one of the many great passages of Scripture. We want to break into the chapter towards the end at verse 31. Romans 8 and verse 31. Paul says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is the word of God, and we pray his blessing upon it. Political chaos everywhere you look, accompanied by unstable financial markets, businesses, livelihoods filled with uncertainty over Brexit, signs of decline in our social institutions, our schools, our health and social care, the jettisoning of the moral codes that once protected and held our society together. The world, it seems, on the move. Vast crowds of humanity looking for a place to put down roots where they will find security and sustenance. These are all graphic reminders of the instability and the unreliability of everything around us. Vivid reminders that we live in a constantly and rapidly changing world. And this frightening lack of stability can cause a great deal of anxiety. But how reassuring to be reminded that in this fast-changing world, there is something that remains constant. Amidst all the failure around us, how comforting to discover that there is something that is unfailing. To be reminded that God's love for us is a constant, unchanging, unfailing love. A love that does not change, that cannot be destroyed, but remains unaltered by conditions, by time, by space, by outside and inside influences. With all the pressures that change brings, how much we need this reassurance of just how wonderful God's love for us is. And Paul has much to say about it here in this closing section of the 8th chapter of Romans. And the first thing that he tells us about it here is that this love is unaffected by situations. It's unaffected by situations. He says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life." In describing the nature of God's love for us, he begins with the man's most feared enemy, death. Here is the greatest source of change. One writer says, it is death that unclasps our hands from the closest and dearest of grasps. Death destroys the deepest of bonds. It separates body and soul. It parts us from our homes, from our occupations, from our friendships, from every bond known to society. This is the most feared and the greatest changer of all. And yet Paul reminds us here that there is one bond that even death cannot break. In fact, in trying to achieve that separation, death defeats its own aims. For it tears us away from this old world with all of its limitations. And it carries us into the nearer presence of the God who loves us and carries us into even greater blessings. Death, with all of its power, Paul says, cannot separate us from God's love. And then he turns to life. What death, with all its power, cannot do, maybe, just maybe, life with all of its hazards and its problems, maybe it can achieve it. Maybe if we live long enough, the cords of God's love might be eroded and finally snap and be broken, and that love lost. Ah, no, says the apostle. Such is the nature of God's love for us that neither death nor life can ever separate us from it. If you think about it, these two conditions, these two situations, life and death, they are the extremes that happen to us. They're at opposite ends of the chain. There's life, death. And the point is that if the extremes can't separate us from God's love, then certainly nothing in between can. If the most violent change possible doesn't loosen the grip of God's love on us, then we need have no worries over any less violent changes. What a tremendously reassuring truth. God's love is unaffected by our conditions, by life or death, or anything else in between. That would be wonderful in itself if he were just to stop there, but he doesn't. He goes on and he tells us that not only is God's love unaffected by our situations, but it's unimpaired by beings. He says, neither angels, nor principalities, nor powers. You see, if nothing in our condition, in our situation, can affect God's love for us, is it possible that there are things outside of the natural realm that could cause God's love for us to fail? Again, Paul assures us that there's no need for fear in this account either. He tells us categorically that angels, be they good or bad, cannot harm or destroy or separate us from God's love. Unseen forces, good or evil, cannot break the bond of love that binds us to our Savior. Principalities nor powers, all the evil workings and workers of Satan cannot separate us from God's love. even though they try very hard to convince us that they can. We're well warned in Scripture to have nothing to do with these evil powers. The use of magic and superstition and so on is dishonoring to the Lord, and Scripture forbids us to dabble in those things. But you see, try as they do, Satan and his hordes and his devices can never separate us from God's love for us. Because you see, here we see the personal nature of our relationship with God. It is between God and us. No other being, human or spiritual, is involved, nor has any power in the matter outside of God. No other had part in forging that relationship, and none can destroy it. One commentator puts it like this: angels, principalities, powers may stand beholding with sympathetic joy. They may minister blessings and guardianship. But the decisive action of union between God and the soul, they can never affect or prevent. God assures us through his word that just as there is nothing in the natural realm, life or death, so there's nothing in the spiritual realm, angels, principalities, or powers, that can separate us from his love. It's totally unaffected, totally unimpaired by these things. Paul says that God's love for us is undiminished by time. He says, nor things present, nor things to come. He turns his attention to the power of time. My, how time changes things. You've only got to look in the mirror. You see your father or your mother looking back at you. Time brings great changes, and eventually it brings separation. Think of Isaac Watts' great hymn: time, like an ever-flowing stream, bears all its sons away. Time has brought the destruction of many great loves, many great relationships. So how does time, present and future, how does that affect God's love for us? Well, the short answer is it doesn't. Remember in his great revelation of himself to Israel in Exodus chapter 3, God reveals himself as I am that I am, the eternal God. The burning bush symbolizes that. Always burning, never consumed. The always now fire. God is eternal, he is unchanging, and God is love. Therefore, his love for us is eternal and unchanging. Things present won't destroy it. And we can rest assured that whatever happens in the future, that won't separate us from God's love either. He reminds us in Jeremiah 31, I have loved you with an everlasting love. My, what comfort, what strength and assurance. When we fail, when we fall, when we're overwhelmed by the pressures of life and the situations we find ourselves in, think about Job. Job's case with Satan dealt in things present. And things for Job were as bad as it's possible to get. He lost literally everything, including his health. But didn't separate him from God's love. At the end of it all, we read in chapter 42, the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. With David and Elijah, Satan dealt in things to come. David said, I shall die at the hands of Saul. Short time later, God sets him on the throne of Israel. Jezebel said to Elijah, I'll make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow. And Elijah arose and went for his life. But in fact, he never died. God took him to heaven in the chariot of fire. And as we constantly face the frightening flow of change and decay in the world around us, and indeed within us, the cooling of earthly affections as time sweeps by, Satan would love to persuade us to judge God's love by the world's fleeting standards. But that would just be simply so far from the truth. Because God's love for us knows no end, and it experiences no decline in its intensity or its quality. It's totally unaffected by time, past, present, or future. His love for us is as great this morning as it was in eternity past when he set his love upon us. His love for us this morning is as great as it was some 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross for us, as it will be when he presents us spotless before the Father in eternity yet to come. We have no need to be afraid of the lessening of God's love for us, because that can never be. His love is from everlasting to everlasting. It's undiminished by time. It's unimpaired by beings. It's unaffected by situations. It's unhindered by space. Look at what he says. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. Again, that which has brought an end to many human loves, space, distance. We hear the cliche so often, it's difficult to maintain a long distance relationship. But it is no match for God's love. Just as time is powerless to separate us from God's love, so too is the other enemy of love, space or distance, neither height nor depth. This wonderful truth, which is a fearful thing for those who have never committed their lives to Christ, is for the child of God the most incredible reality. You, God, see me. The psalmist in Psalm 139 says, if I ascend into the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the grave, you are there. Where shall I flee from your presence? And the answer, of course, is nowhere. There's nothing in highest heaven or deepest hell that can ever separate us from God's wonderful love. And as you read this passage, it seems as if the apostle is growing impatient as he lists things that are powerless to separate us from God's love. And with one final burst, he throws, as it were, everything else, the whole of space and created matter, into the pot. Nor any other creature. See, God knows that the ability of the human heart to conjure up possible trouble and disaster for itself is limitless. You say, well, God's love can't be changed by this, but what about that? No, but what about that? But what about that? But in these words, Paul lays it all to rest. He says, in effect, no created thing can separate us from God's love. Think about that. That means that there is absolutely nothing, there is absolutely no one that can ever separate us from God's love. Because the only thing in existence not created is what? Or who? God. Everything else is created. The same Paul could say that in him we live and move and have our being. Even though God knows us intimately, even better than we know ourselves, he still loves us with an everlasting love. Not because of who or what we are, but indeed in spite of who and what we are. Isn't it incredible just to realize that God knows us intimately, better than the person sitting beside us, better than our partner in life. And yet he still loves us. He still loves us. See, nothing will ever surprise him and cause his love for us to fail. There are no surprises for the all-knowing God and his all-surpassing love. It's unhindered by space, undiminished by time, unimpaired by beings, unaffected by situations. But here's the thing. This is not just a case of, here are some wonderful theological truths. They are. But there's more to it. Because recognizing the triumph of God's amazing love for us over all of these things, whether they're real or supposed enemies, gives us the victory over them as well. We're set free from the dread of death and the despair of life. We're delivered from the superstitious dread of an unseen world and from the fear of men. We're rescued from becoming bogged down in the present and being paralyzed by anxiety for the future. What a glorious truth that we, as the children of God, cannot be separated from God's love for us by anything natural, spiritual, temporal, or spatial. The love of God is forever, forever ours. To lose God's love, God would have to cease to exist, and that can never happen. In the midst of the raging sea of change and decay, what a tremendous rock. What a thrill for the soul Surely it must fill our lives with the warmth of God's grace and His mercy, with the comfort of His eternal presence, with strength, with hope. And surely it must encourage us to a deeper love for the one who loves us, to a greater sense of rejoicing in the certain knowledge that the love that took the initiative in lifting us from the miry clay will one day lift us to the halls of heaven. For I am convinced, Paul says, totally convinced. Pastor was retiring. He preached his final sermon. He'd been in the church for many, many years, preached many sermons. And as he stood at the door, shaking hands with folks as they left, one very faithful member stopped with him and said, "Pastor, do you know what the most important thing that you've said to us in all of these years is?" "I've no idea," he said. "You told us that there's nothing that we can do to get God to stop loving us. The most important thing that we can learn in life is this, that God never stops loving us." Peter lied and swore about being one of the disciples. God still loved him. The mothers and their small children were a problem. They were a nuisance for the disciples. God still loved them. The woman at the well had a horrendous past, and her present wasn't much to write home about either. But God still loved her. And this morning, no matter what your life is, no matter what your life has been, here's the glorious truth, that God still loves you. Let's rest confidently. Let's continually rejoice in this amazing reality of the even more incredible nature of our God, whose love is unfailing. Amen.